The Sample Access, administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.
So we're back for Sample Access, episode number 14. We took a break of about 4 months, not up to 4 months.
Not up to 4 months now. We have been dropping stuff for a while. And it's because I've been researching.
I think we stopped in November 2020.
Yeah.
And then we're back in February. 2 months of, you know, some good break. Chilling with family.
Yeah, early January break. Yeah.
We're reporting from Akure, the capital city of the Sunshine State. This is where we've been recording. We might be recording anywhere. In the future, we might be recording in your city. Doesn't matter. It's the new age where you can be anywhere. Reach out to as many people you want across the world. Thank you for always tuning in. We are definitely grateful for those of you who take your time to download, to listen to us wherever you listen to this podcast. My name is Guiga. I have Nelson in the building. We are back for real, for real.
Yeah.
And this is super exciting, Nelson. What's
good? Yeah, it's super exciting, man. Q2, episode 14. And this time, I've been waiting for this for a very long time now because I think I was the one that made the break happen because I had to, you know, go.
Yeah.
Because if I was around, I would have probably recorded.
And it was necessary in a way.
Yeah, it was necessary.
Even though some people don't like the idea of taking a break.
Break, especially in podcasts. Yeah. Like, I just want you to go on and on and on.
At the end of the day,
you want to achieve, you want to achieve 300 episodes.
Yeah.
You're going to need to do almost every day in the year.
Yeah.
So there has to be consistency in terms of how much you're putting out.
Yeah.
Like, and people want to see all the time. They want to tune in every week and say, okay, I'm listening to a fresh episode from these guys. But you know what? It was a break that we needed.
But then
and
again,
it's good.
There's a, I'm in the middle of something right now. Exclusivity and consistency. Some people say consistency is the new talent.
Yeah.
If you do something over and over again, you get better at it. You start to see new ways of doing it, and then you master the craft in a way. You do it in the best way you can, and then it's good when people see that growth, and then people see this solid content that came from, you know, the scratch. Came from something raw. That's on one side. There's exclusivity. People get so high nowadays that they only drop maybe once in a month, once in 2 months, because the content is so exclusive. They get to this very high level. It's like whiskey at some point.
Yeah.
Locking off all the songs in the hard drive and saying, for this year, that we don't have anything. Maybe a few features, but I want you people to miss me. Do you get stuff like that?
Yeah, I do. I feel like it's necessary for the way it is right now, where there's like content everywhere.
Yeah.
Because I listened to a podcast recently, and they were talking about how, you know, we youngins right now would drop 1,000 content in a week, and you can't even go through every one of them.
Yeah.
So there has to be something unique about your podcast, your content, that makes people come back, you know, I want to listen again.
Yeah. Let's get to today's conversation. The quartet for today,
4 songs that I love.
Is this
I love
the first
every
time
one
we're
of
talking
them.
Whiskey?
Is it? What is it? We talk about whiskey a lot.
Not
off
a,
air.
Yes,
off air.
Yes.
So we don't know whether this is actually.
I'm trying to recall episode 1 to 13.
I don't think so.
We have not done whiskey.
I've not done whiskey before.
So whiskey is in the conversation today. Who else do we have?
We have VIP. We have VIP. We have Fino, and Nelly's Dilemma makes a return.
A return on the Sample Access.
Yeah, return.
Apart from Nelly's Dilemma, something about Dr. Dre and NWA.
Yeah, NWA. We have some, just, you know, snippet of some stuff on NWA.
On that side. But the real conversation for today is on VIP
and
from Ghana.
Yeah.
Sampled by Wizkid. Sampled by Mute, Wizkid, Starboy combo. What's good?
Man, I really like this one, basically. I really do, because I feel like it shows how modern the sound has turned to. Like, listening to VIP's Awumkewum or whatever it is, listen to that sound, you know how, you know how raw it sounds, the energy there, everything. It just sounds exclusively like African, and it's really beautiful. And now we have, you know, Wizkid coming around with his pure vibes 4 years ago, saying, you know what, I'm going to drop a song, and, you know, teamed up with Mute. Mute is the half of Legendary Beats, and they come together and make a song like this. And I feel like, I think Wizkid had it in his mind when he was making this record, and there's no record right now, or there's nothing to show that he actually did have that in mind. But I feel like Wizkid was thinking, you know what, I love this guy so much, and I think like that song was perfect at that point, so why don't we do a song like this?
This is a good thinking, but I don't think this is what he was thinking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm pointing out that this is Nelson just talking. I'm just saying, I feel like Wizkid seems to be like an artist that loves, you know, African artists that have done it big, have done it good. Yeah. You know, you hear this Wizkid listening to Bob Marley's Satisfy My Soul. Yeah. You know, this guy knows music.
And I know that Wizkid should have exhausted all of, maybe not all, but most of Fela's content.
Exactly. So you have a feeling that, because everything we're talking about in this kind of position right now, we're not in his head exactly.
Yeah.
So we're like saying, okay, I think he probably said, okay, you know what? I have a vibe that I've always, you know, jammed to, the VIP stuff that I really love. And that song, I feel like we can redo it. Because obviously, he was inspired by that song.
Yeah, obviously.
So there's no, it's not like the song came out from nowhere.
Speaking of the VIP song, 2003.
Yeah.
It was a big song.
Now, I'm talking about from the perspective of a Nigerian.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying maybe people from Tanzania or from South Africa.
Yeah.
I'm talking as a Nigerian. I had VIPs of Wumke Wum in probably 2004. So that song was big.
Yeah, it was very big. In fact,
everywhere.
I'm learning in retrospect now. I had to do some research, seen some of the performances. Maybe I was too young at the time to figure that this song was something. So I'm sure the feature with Two-Face, which is
was prompted by this.
One of our memories of VIP in Nigeria.
Yeah, that's
it's
it.
A Two-Face feature on the Graphic Grace album. In 2006.
Six, yes.
So they must have popped in Nigeria 03, 04.
The record says that they were big everywhere in Africa.
Yeah, they were big.
Record says they were big everywhere in Africa.
They performed in New York. They performed in some
places. Yeah, they had to. That song blew
this
them
song
up.
Blew them up. So 2003, 2005, 6, that era moving all the way to 2017, where Wizkid does, you know, an interpolation, a sample of this song. Of course, the sound is now more refined. The dance, the groove in the song is, I think, more modern, if I can say that.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it's like a modernized version of the song. It's like there's this, it kind of shows, when you listen to the original song, and then you switch immediately to Maya, there's a link.
Yeah.
It's like progression.
Yeah.
Okay, like, we left this level of production. First of all, Maya is way cleaner than in terms of quality of production and all that, and obviously that's like what 13 years apart, and 13 years in tech is a long time.
Things
change like every year, and now you're thinking about it, but you still listen to that song and you're like, no, this is a jam. Even now, you play it in a party or play it anywhere else around, everybody's going to jam to that song. So so feeling that it was inspired, and this is like a modernized version of the song, and it was accepted by many. If you check YouTube comments, man, that's where your life is. In YouTube comments, people really express themselves, and I like that. So if you want to check up on samples sometimes, just go on YouTube and you see some of those stuff there. You see, people are saying, oh man, I just listened to Wizkid Maya right now and I had to listen to this song again because it brought me back, you know. Yeah. I know we said that thing about Wale Thompson.
Yeah.
In our one of our very first episodes, when we were talking about Zinoliski doing Mark Bairo. I'm sure a lot of youngies didn't know what Mark Bairo came from. They're like, wow, Wale this Thompson sounds very original, very cool. And they're like, Wale Thompson did this song like this, you know.
And I think those of us who were around or who knew the old song enjoy it better.
Yeah, yeah. You
go back to your childhood and maybe I was 5 or 10 at this time, and then I can listen because Wale Thompson, for instance, going back to that episode, this was a big song on radio.
Yeah.
This was La La La.
Everywhere, Friday. Everywhere.
So when I heard that song. Zinoliski, I don't know how old he is.
He should probably be in his early 20s.
And then we're talking about a song that was big.
In 2000. It was probably like 3 or
so. Maybe it was
or
2
four.
Or 3.
Yeah.
But then it was big on radio. He was able to trace and, you know, get the song.
Yes,
back.
Yes. It's
cute to see that, you know, like we always say, songs can make their way back.
Yeah, one way or the other. I think we should have to acknowledge the fact that Wizkid Maya, one way or the other, brought that song back.
Yeah, gave those guys some acknowledgement.
Yes, VIP has been
a new fan base.
Yeah,
maybe,
VIP has
younger
been,
fan base.
VIP has always released music.
Yeah,
they have been releasing music. I think they have probably not released music maybe for like 2-3 years now, but they have continued to release music and they have continued to perform. These guys are they're over 24 years in the game.
Yeah,
I mean, almost 3 decades, like almost 3 decades
up until 2017.
Yeah, so almost 3 decades, you know. Yeah, almost 3 decades. Yeah. So we know Wizkid, obviously Wizkid is from Ogun State.
Yeah.
The big man himself, probably the most decorated musician of
does
his
he
generation
really that much.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Wizkid, everybody thinks Wizkid is from Surulere.
That's what everybody knows.
Ojolegba. Yeah, and it makes sense because of the Ojolegba song was kind of the song that put it out there.
And that was where he lived.
For Afrobeats. You know how we are in Nigeria. Whether you have stayed somewhere else, you still have to rep wherever you come from.
We might have to change that.
Yeah, we might have to change that. It's like one of those, you know, culture, tradition things that we might probably need to change. Because it's just an example. Somebody like me, you know, I'm not a superstar, but you might want to know that I'm from Delta State. But and I've lived all my life in Lagos. Bariga. Yeah, and I rep Bariga. I'm a Bariga boy to the bone.
So do where do we draw the line? Can you run for office in Bariga?
I have my Lasra in Bariga. People don't understand what that is, like my residence permit and all that. Yeah, I have it in Bariga. So I should be able to run.
Policies. I'm sure some people are working on it.
Yeah, so I should be able to run.
It shouldn't matter where you're from. So long you have lived in this community, you have contributed to this community, it shouldn't really matter. That's why it goes back to Wizkid. That's why Wizkid, there's no attachment to a particular community.
You can actually check online.
I don't know which community is from exactly, but if he was, I don't know, if he really wanted to represent our community, maybe
he would have visited. Put it out there, I'm from this, I'm from that.
We don't really, but we just know he's from Ogun State, but he has repped Lagos.
Yeah, and he has repped Lagos all the way. And I feel like everybody that's from Ojolegba feels connected to Wizkid. Yeah. I know Oxlade is also a Surulere boy, but doesn't stay, I think he doesn't stay in Ojolegba exactly, but he's Surulere too, so like local government Surulere. So everybody that is
that must feel that must feel good.
Yeah, that must feel really good because you feel you feel connected. You're like, okay, this, you know what? It's like Wizkid and Oxlade. Okay, yeah, maybe not like long time apart, but Wizkid has been on for over 10 years now, and then Oxlade is like maybe 3 years into the game actively.
Yeah.
So it's like looking at the Dr. Dre and Kendrick Lamar situation.
Different,
you know, Dr. Dre is N.W.A., which we're going to get into later, and then there's Kendrick Lamar that comes in like 2006 that started dropping records 2007. Do you understand? So that's like, and N.W.A. has been since like 89. Yeah. So like, okay, yeah, two generations and 25 years thereabout. But you think about it and you're saying Wizkid, maybe not a full generation, but in terms of music as it is right now,
sounds,
it feels like
different generations.
Because when Wizkid was in Halat Your Boy, you know, Oxlade was probably in school trying to get by.
Wiz was in school too.
Yeah, Wiz was in school too, but like he was already in the music industry and it's a different level. And yeah, that's the thing about, I feel like at some point we're going to probably need to talk about how important, like, the people around you at that point, their importance in shaping you into what you are today in terms of music. Because everybody knows, for example, now, let's just drop this, Motown, Detroit. Everybody thinks Detroit, you think Motown. You think Compton, you think Dr. Dre, you think Kendrick Lamar, you think Eazy-E, you think Ice Cube.
If you think Brooklyn, who do you think about?
Brooklyn, Jay-Z, and that's New York.
Queensbridge now.
You see, see the way he's spitting it right now. Like, these are people. I mean, you think the North in Nigeria, you think
Idris Abu Karim. By the way, I wanted to put Mitch in that conversation.
Oh, wow.
You know, Bariga.
Oh, yeah.
He was shouting out to Kotun on one of his EP.
Okay.
Sometime ago. Before we go back to Motown, I just wanted to acknowledge that it's important for the kids that come from a city that one of them is doing amazing.
Yeah. Very important.
To brag about it, like, yo, I know
that. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel good. And the same thing goes to VIP too. Wherever VIP goes to, even in their New York interview we saw, they were talking about Boogie Down Nima. I don't know why they were saying Boogie Down,
it's
but
probably it was a small town like
Orile. Somewhere like Bariga. I know they talked about it like it was a slum. Like, it looked like it's one of the slum areas, and we saw some of the pictures in it, and it's like, okay, and these guys happen to be from the same place, and look at them making it out and becoming superstars. Although VIP didn't get it easy, we have to say that they didn't get it easy.
Nima,
you know,
is in Accra,
in Ghana, and these guys have been talking back to VIP. Now we're back on VIP and Wizkid.
Wizkid's talk is a
we're gonna exhaust like talking about Wizkid. I swear, Wizkid's diaries or something, and then you start talking about it. Obviously,
else.
Or the Wizkid FC people will handle
of
that.
Course, more conversations about Wizkid's
his
discography will come later.
Yeah, later on we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about where he's from and what space was Wiz in when Maya dropped.
I think Wizkid at that point was already up there. I feel like people had already, you know, first things first.
This was before One Dance.
People don't accept, people don't accept this, but One Dance, the likes and the other songs that Wizkid had done, they were not as big as that debut album that kind of cemented Wizkid as being a superstar. You know, after Superstar, Wizkid was doing, you know, features and he was great in every one of them. I remember AME's album that time. Wizkid was everywhere on that album.
as well.
It was beautiful. Did you get, because everybody, I think that's when the Whiskey Dem FC started to, you know, get themselves together and say, okay, you know what, we're gonna call ourselves Whiskey FC, and we're gonna be the best time, FC in the whole,
what year? Whole industry. 2013.
Yeah, 2012, 2013, and yeah, coming
but
up
Whiskey
the
wasn't up there yet.
No, it wasn't
we
up there.
We knew it was a star. We knew it was
I think as at 2013, Whiskey has this. It's like this glorious thing with him.
Sellable
yeah, like
brand.
He has this sellable brand. He's you know, he's like a poster boy.
Yeah.
Like the Nema.
Fine boy.
You know, Nema, like, you know,
making
like. Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. It matches the energy. You know, it's like, for example, now there are players that are really cool, but they don't, you know, play as well.
Yeah.
But you look at someone like Nema, for example, now in quotes, and he's playing well and he's good. And then you come to music and you're like, okay, Whiskey is he's a cool guy. It's fine, he's selling the brand well. He looks very, you know, he's very matured in his sense and everything. And at the same time, he's really, really good.
Yeah.
And you think about it and be like, okay, yeah, Whiskey is actually the best in the game for his generation.
And I think the difference, the thing for him was the consistency. He was dropping tracks. Apart from tracks, solid tracks, club bangers, radio songs, features.
Yeah.
He was doing more than everybody else.
Exactly.
I think the person that would come close to Wizkid's work ethic at that time would be Olamide. Olamide was dropping albums every year.
Yeah.
Was dropping jams on radio. He was on radio every year. Around that 2010.
Down to like 2014,
all
15.
The way down, they were hot. So
yeah.
I don't know if anybody else was working that hard.
No. I don't think about it right now. I don't think so. Because, you know, people like Davido. Davido was already around in like 2011, 12. Davido was already around like 11, 12. But, you know, he became. I think he came into his stride in like 2015, 16. So, and all this time, before those times, people like Whiskey and Olamide were really trying so hard to be in the industry. Now, not to like talk less about any other person, but we are saying these guys were young, they were getting it already. They had the opportunity to relax. I just realized that I saw something recently. Somebody tweeted, I don't know, on Twitter, you know, one of the Nigerian influencers.
Yeah.
And then the person tweeted and wrote a couple of names and was like, these people are the people that have worked the hardest in the Nigerian music industry. And he didn't put Olamide's name. I felt very insulted for Olamide. First of all, because I'm a Bariga boy.
One.
Secondly, because I'm like, how would you write a list like that and not put Olamide in the list?
Well, we'll say this.
Who in the past 10 years has worked better than Wizkid, Olamide, in terms of putting out records every year?
We always say this. And, you know, lists are, you know, a serious thing to do, except you are ready to accept all possible opinions into that list. It will always cause chaos. But then everybody agrees on some things.
It's like the Olamide in a conversation.
I'm sure the way we have said it now, the hardest workers in that era, the most we know, was Olamide. Honorable mention Davido.
Yeah.
People might take offense to that. Davido was, you know.
Yeah, obviously, Davido was making
but
news.
They definitely were not the only guys working. I'm sure there were people who were working who just didn't get to that.
Yeah, true. But we're saying these guys
are
the guys.
I don't know when Runtown came up, but Runtown 2 was.
Yeah, but we're saying like these are the guys we're seeing. For example, this Maya song, Maya is a single. We have the amount of singles that was brought out by Wizkid at this point in time were a lot. I mean, Wizkid has only 3 solid studio albums. Now 4 after Made in Lagos. I was thinking 3 because I've always been thinking 3. You know, and then you talk about someone like Olamide. Olamide has at 27 already had like 7 albums out.
Yeah, yeah.
And you feel like, you know, these guys are not working hard. The other people that probably had more albums, you know, like sometimes we used to joke about how Modo has so many albums and we don't talk about it. But like, these were the guys we were seeing.
So timestamp 2017.
Yeah.
One Dance and the Ojolegba remix had dropped.
Yeah, those had dropped. Ojolegba 2014.
So Starboy was a label.
Yeah, we already had Kara at some point. Kara had already come out 2013. Starboy was already out 2013.
So he had a platform to push
the music. Yeah.
And that's
why it was big. And I think one of the reasons why people wouldn't accept the fact is because Maya was big because it sounded very familiar.
Yeah.
A lot of people would not accept it
well,
now.
Well,
they'll say it was the Whiskey effect, but I can tell you for sure.
I think it was the Whiskey effect.
I'll like tell Joro, you for sure. It's like what I think.
Joro didn't sample anybody.
Yeah. Joro was good. Joro was good. But we're talking 2017.
Was already big enough to drop any song
and it will blow. Numbers. Yeah. But I feel like, okay, maybe I'm talking from my perspective now.
Yeah.
But I feel like most of us, you know, there's something about our brain that works magnificent. Like,
I feel the effect is dance. Make people dance.
Yeah. But you know, I'm like, we talk about why sampling sometimes is very great. What am I saying sometimes? What's happening every time is good. I feel like if I'm in charge of the music industry, I'll say, you know what? As far as you can sample greatly, because some people sample very poorly. As far as you can sample greatly, sample all the songs you want to sample. Let's now look for a way to get these guys paid and sort them out. Like what J. Cole said, you know, it's fine. You want $10,000, we come. I have a negotiation. We'll give you $5,000. You know why? Because in this one song, we're sampling like 8 people. So we can't give you all the whole 10K. So we'll spread it out among these 8 people.
But are you talking money. About Note to Self on FHD?
Yes, yes, yes.
But then
yes.
In retrospect, because I listened to that part of his ranting where he said you should allow people sample your stuff. And then recently I read about the Tracy Chapman, Nicki Minaj.
Oh yeah, that was quite,
which should be a different episode of
I really don't want yeah that's I really I don't want to talk about
but
it
the
yet.
Fact that people want exclusivity, I don't want you to touch my content just because I don't want you to take me out of context.
Oh okay.
Tracy Chapman probably doesn't want a creative like J. Cole to pick a part of her song and make it into a club or a filthy song about sex, blah blah blah.
I want
my purity in place forever. Don't touch my stuff.
But that's why you need to have.
But Jacob was saying on that rant that everyone, if God gave you a talent to, you know, express yourself, you should allow people to be creative from your work too. So I don't know. I'm indifferent about that. I just feel I like Tracy Chapman's music. I love Jacob too. But I feel people like Tracy Chapman or whoever says don't touch my work, I want them to be kept. Leave it like that. I don't want your money. Just don't touch my stuff.
Yeah, but that's why I feel like there has to be a conversation had before anybody touches ahead. Like anybody's music. But you're like, okay, you know what? I'm feeling it this way. I want to sample this song because I'm thinking right now. I don't know whether money was paid to VIP for this sample because this is obviously a sample.
I expect that
money was paid. Whiskey would have asked. Yeah, yeah, true. We're not saying we probably need
especially
to.
Especially when VIP was still active.
Active, yeah. They would have probably come through and
even
say,
though
no,
in Africa and in Nigeria, the sample system
is not
industry.
So. Even to today, we still know that sampling is a very sensitive topic because you're like, okay, you know what? For example, what you said, you pick up a line. Like I always remember Wu-Tang Clan whenever I'm thinking about samples. When they sampled this lady, Gladys Knight, on one of their records, that RZA just brought out the song. Now the song was supposed to be about love. Can't things be so simple? And it was sung from a heart. Felt like there was a feeling attached to that song, and they brought it on the record. Now when they brought it on the record, they fine tuned it, but paying respect to that record, they didn't do anything nasty on it. Mm. So they spoke from their heart as well.
Yeah, to respect the spirit of the song.
Now, even though it took on a new meaning, because she was talking from a ballad point of view, I'm singing for why can't things be so simple? And why is everybody just
heartfelt
like
music.
You know, heartfelt music? They brought it from the gangster rap, but they made sure the gangster rap was still clean
and
heartfelt, even though they might have used a couple of cuss words.
And then it's more gangster.
Exactly.
More jivey.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, we should have people that are around to say, you know what, this song shouldn't, like, for example, if I make a song and somebody's going to approach me on my estate to say, you know what, we want to do a song about you, we say, you shouldn't pass
terms
this
terms
song.
And conditions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a time whereas every artist would read terms and conditions.
That's why the publisher should always be around.
Well, we know that doesn't happen 75% of the time.
People die.
But we know that doesn't happen 75% of the time.
Michael Jackson is gone.
Yeah.
He shits on his behalf.
His estate.
Will they be around for life? Most definitely.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, as far as things go right for them.
Wow.
But back to Whiskey.
We have gone too far.
Yeah, yeah. But
let's go to Ghana.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to Ghana. Ghana, Nima. Ghana,
so,
VIP
so
there for Nima.
How many
Boogie Down
people
Nima.
All together have been in and out of the band or the group called
now VIP. Now let's first start with this. VIP doesn't mean very important people, and it doesn't mean vagabonds in power. That's to the fella fans.
Yeah,
not vagabonds in power.
That's one of my
not very important people. It means vision in progress. Now the group
kind of fits at the end of
yeah yeah it does because
even though some soldiers left the group,
yeah, they're still vision in progress, so step going on, and the idea of wanting to make music forever is going on. I feel like they might be one of those groups, for example, like Change is a group in the US. They have been forever, they're still active, although they are not as active as they should be, but they're like Sky has been active forever for about 40 years.
Are they old? Change,
obviously, yeah, Change, they're old. I know what, they have continued to change. Yeah, so like they have had They've had Jocelyn Brown.
I like the connection between Vision in Progress
and change in the US. You get
same thing.
Yeah, same thing. They have continued to change. There's, you know, Jocelyn Brown was there at some point. Then there was Luther Vandross at some point. And they're like a lot of artists. I wouldn't be shocked if Tracy Chapman was there at some point. I'm just telling you legit stuff. You check their lineup and you're like, whoa. But that's the name change, and they have continued like that. Sky maybe not, but like, you know, they have that same effect with Vision and Progress.
I don't care if this episode goes to 2 hours, but let's digress and go to Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
And people like Fugees. Why is it that old groups like, I don't know if the Whispers ever got to properly disband?
No, Whispers never disbanded. They're still around. Whispers did an interview last year.
Wow.
December.
5 of them are still alive, I believe.
Not all five.
But the fact that...
But the twins are still alive, though.
Those OGs...
Yes.
Change, Sky...
Yeah.
The Whispers...
Yeah.
...were able to be together...
Yeah.
...for 40, 30 years. But Destiny's Child, the Fugees, had to disband.
I'll tell you why.
What does that tell the...
I'll tell you why.
But what does it tell us about the new generation?
There are two types of people in a group. Or in the band.
Yeah.
The person that founded the group or the band. Mm. The person that leads the group or the band. Mm. Now, in some cases, it happens to be the same person. But in most cases, that's not the same person.
Yeah.
Now, these two people are very integral to the group.
Yeah.
When one person leaves, that's the end of the group. Mm. Although, if the founding person is still around to keep the group together, then stuff is going to always happen.
Yeah.
Now, if the person that leads the group leaves, there's a, and they don't replace early,
there's a high tendency
they are going to split up. Mm. Now, if the founder leaves the group, most of the time is a no-brainer. Mm. It's going to, like, at some point, everybody's going to want to go solo.
What was the situation with Jackson 5?
Jackson 5, took the life out of the group. Which
he wasn't
He wasn't the leader, but he was the life out of the group. Another outlier. Now, Jackson 5, one outlier. Loose ends, another outlier. Loose ends, Steve Nicol left the group. Steve Nicol started the band. Steve Nicol was leading the band. Mm. And he left the group. But Carl McIntosh stayed with the group. Mm. And continued to keep the name. For example, another easy one, New Edition. Mm. New Edition had Bobby Brown, Ralph Tresvant, Ronnie DeVoe, you know, Michael Bivins. Now, all those ones were... We had the leaders as Ralph Tresvant. And Ralph left. But Ralph didn't leave first. The person that left first was Bobby Brown. They replaced Bobby Brown easy. Big shout out to Bobby Brown. Great artist. But he was replaced easy. Why? Because he wasn't the leader. And he wasn't the one moving the group. They replaced him with Johnny Gill. Which was very smooth. Trust me, it was the best move they made. I'm saying that. Not like I don't like Bobby Brown, but that was the best move they made. Because they made... beautiful songs afterwards.
So who?
Now guess what? Johnny Gill became the leader of the group when he came in. And that was unheard of. And that's what led Ralph to leave the group. One of the reasons why Ralph left the group.
Who was pressing the buttons?
Obviously, there was somebody that was pressing. See, this music industry is crazy. There's a lot of things going on. You know, like that's what I'm saying. But like I'm talking about, when you're talking about the classic groups, for example, now look at the OJs. Those men remained the same. They never shifted, and they are the most decorated group of all time. I don't know whether you know this. That was the greatest black group of all time. Wow. The OJs. Nobody gets to their level. Why they stayed the same?
Well, what's their selling point? Why are they better than Kool & the Gang?
Oh, wow. Because, first of all, they have hits more than Kool & the Gang. And they accepted more writers.
Different generations.
Yeah, different generations, obviously. Everybody, now, okay, I don't know where I've said this, but everybody, every group wanted to be like the OJs.
Wow.
They were so good. I don't know if you know this song. I'm going to sing now. Money, 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 money. You know that song? Money.
I've heard it on
money,
the
money,
podcast.
Money, 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 money. Is everywhere apart from a podcast. They use it on like for boxing shows.
This was 70s.
Yeah, 70s. They had lots of songs, Backstabbers, major hits. Mm. So this meant they had writers, they had people that were working for them. But the core of the group was Eddie Levett. That's the main man in the group. And all this now we're going all the way back. OJ's like Vision of Progress. Vision of Progress have been there. The group has changed, but some people have continued to be in that group.
Yeah. So
from the early days we had Promzy. From 97, Promzy, Prodigal, Lazzy, that is now known as Zeal, and Friction. Now, Promzy is the most recent person to leave the group and was replaced by a legend in Reggie Rockstone.
Okay.
Now, Reggie Rockstone was the one that pioneered, or is the one that is known to have pioneered hip life. Hip life is like Kwaito music from South Africa, hip hop plus Ghanaian influenced sound,
like Afro hip hop in Nigeria.
Yeah, like Afrobeat in Nigeria, because Afrobeat is like combination fusion. Of a lot of music.
But
fusion
in this case, there is
hip hop. Hip hop is there. Hip hop is the main element.
Hip life. I was wondering. Hip life. Yeah. High life.
Yeah. It sounds like, because obviously they are like the original sound of Ghanaian people. Probably. Although there's a lot of things about it, because there was this Amobali, that this Simi Guado in 1973 that seemed like a rap song. In fact, Amobali is even sometimes referred to as the godfather of rap.
Amobali is a Ghanaian.
He's a Ghanaian. Yeah, I'm very sure this is the first time you hear this.
And this is different from Grandmaster Flash. And
no, Grandmaster Flash came in the 80s though.
I'm saying that this was 73.
73, yeah.
There is a claim somewhere.
Yeah, there's a claim that he's the godfather of rap. Although,
ever.
Yeah, that's what you think. But okay. In 1942, there was some rap music. Let's not digress too much.
Let's
back
too
to VIP. Back to VIP.
So, I'm caught up where you said rock steady.
Yeah, rock steady. Yeah, rock stone. But you can also call him rock steady. He calls himself rock steady sometimes.
Reggie Rockstone joined the group later.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the founders. Who were the early?
The early founders: Promzy, Prodigal, Lazy, Friction. Now, Friction was the first guy to lead the group.
Who started? Whose idea?
Friction.
Okay.
Friction started the group. Now, in this case, Friction left the group, but Vision continued.
So, this is amazing. Who do we compare them to in the US?
The
founder leaves and the group moves on.
Wow, we don't have lots of them in the US, actually.
Let's go on. So, Friction leaves and then one more person joins.
Yeah, Friction leaves. No, they stayed a trio.
Okay, for some time.
They stayed a trio for some time, and that trio were the ones that actually pushed all the way to like 2014.
Okay.
So the trio is the VIP we are familiar with: Promzy, Prodigal, and Lazy. Mm. Now, they had about 4 albums before 2004, but they had 3 albums before they hit the ground running.
Yeah. They were dropping stuff.
They've been persistent, and they continued.
I think it was from 98.
98, yeah, 2000. Yeah. They dropped in 1998, Bibi Bao. In 2000, they dropped Yediaba. Now, this Yediaba is actually a popular song for amongst Ghanaian people. And I think you found its way into Nigeria, but like it wasn't
not that hard.
Then there's Lumbe Lumbe, which they are known for very well, because it was done in 2001. Mm. Now, I think at that point, they were already gaining recognition. Yeah. People were already saying, okay, these VIP guys are bad guys.
And that consistency goes back to consistency. The fact that they were present.
Yeah, they kept on doing it.
Whatever it was. It was danceable.
Yeah.
It was rappy.
Because it was original.
Yeah.
I don't like their new
sound.
Ghanaian. I need to point that out. I don't like VIPs. VVIPs. They're not more VIP
sound.
Anymore. Since Reggie Rockstone joined them, they decided to change their name to VVIP. I don't like their new sound. I don't appreciate it. But I love old VIP. Not because I don't think it's Reggie Rockstone that caused that effect. Because Reggie Rockstone himself did some quality stuff
too. They tried to evolve.
In the past, but they tried to evolve. But I felt like they evolved the wrong way. Look, you know what?
Originally, this kind of left.
Like Magic System. Magic System has evolved, but they have not stopped doing that kind of music, even though their music is not selling as much. But they are sticking to their roots, and this is what we're going to do. And that's how Magic Year came to be. Magic Year is still one of the biggest songs from the past 5 years that's come out of Africa. And Magic System last major hit was in what, 2002? You get
so the Premier Girl. 2001 Lumbe Lumbe album.
Yeah, and 2003.
Someone had left before 2001.
Yeah, so yeah, Friction had left before 2001.
Now they were planning for the big album to drop.
Yeah.
Ahumka.
Ahumke Wumu.
Ahumke.
Ahumke Wumu.
This is nasty.
Ahumke Wumu.
Ahumke Wumu, which talks about woman and all that.
This yeah.
Is, this is the song we're
classic
talking
African
about.
Jam about women.
Album that is titled by song.
Yeah.
The song is the hit song of the album.
Leading song of the album.
Which of course came to Nigeria, was a big song across Africa. No?
Yeah.
Album dropped in 2003. This is like their, you know, their biggest work.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, this is their biggest work to date. I mean, there's no place they would go to and they would not play Ahumke Wumu.
Yeah, that's like the legend song.
Yeah. 2003. How was 2003 for us in Nigeria?
Two-Face wasn't around.
2004 was Two-Face.
Two-Face was popping.
Yeah. I think Rugged Man.
Rugged
I think
Man
Rugged
out,
Man.
Yeah.
I think Rugged Man was the bomb at that point.
Some boy that had
speed.
Who was popping in 03?
Rugged Man.
I don't think I know.
Rugged Man.
Apart from Rugged.
Okay, we had the
P-Square.
Rugged Man, Rough, Rugged and Raw.
Yeah.
P-Square. African China was still in the air.
Where was Junglist? Maybe the Junglist came later. Junglist is Chef M.
Yeah.
But are we saying Rugged was the biggest song?
He had the biggest song. He had the biggest song. What's the name of that song now? Yeah, that came
I really can't remember, but I know Two-Face was a thing.
Yeah, Two-Face was obviously Two-Face had already been a thing at that point. But we're saying the biggest artist then, I think.
But really, what Nigerian album can we remember before Face to Face? There's not much.
Ah, that's true.
Star Plus was popping. Oh, maybe I don't know enough, but the Kenny's Effect gave Face to Face this signature of the classic Nigerian album.
Yeah, yeah, it did. Definitely.
I don't know what Maintain was doing before 03. Of course, that was Alo, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It was probably easy to be able to get Two-Face to do a song with VIP in 2005.
2006, yeah.
So, yeah, Nigerian.
And I think P-Square actually popped in that point too. They were popping, they were doing their thing too.
Nice.
And that's something we just say. But one thing about this song, Awonka Wemu, and why it is so big, it was, I spent 20 weeks
on the charting
Ghana. Won almost every award. I think five Ghanaian awards and other international awards. They were everywhere. The song was very big. So performing. Now we know where Pablo Whiskey got inspiration from. Talking about the song he had probably listened to over and over and over and over again.
And I'm sure Whiskey, this is just me thinking, he probably wants to check out at random times what's popping in Ghana.
I mean, he spends a lot of time in Ghana actually.
And then when you want to say,
I wouldn't be surprised if Whiskey does something new in Ghana.
Let me just see what's the new thing in Ghana, or let me go back to old stuff that represent Ghanaian music.
Yeah.
That song comes on, and then time comes to make a song with Mute,
and it's just perfect. It's smooth.
And then they shot the video for Maya coming back to Nigeria. Now shot the video at the Fela Shrine. You know, the ladies shaking their bums and making stuff happen in that video.
Was it at Fela Shrine though?
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Yeah. So I can connect that back to Whiskey trying to, you know, check old stuff. Let's make this African. This is African dance anyways. African music, Ghanaian connection, blah, blah, blah. So is Mute, of course, Mute is Nigerian.
Mute is Nigerian. The Uzazi brothers.
What is legendary beats? We talked about this as if it's Whiskey song. But
it's majorly, Mute. But it's actually Mute and Whiskey. But it wasn't Mute featuring Whiskey.
They are part of Starboy.
Mute and Starboy.
What's up with Starboy?
I really wish I could answer that question.
Because
funny thing is, I had a conversation with a couple of friends lately, and we're talking about the biggest record labels in Nigeria.
Starboy doesn't come up in the conversation.
Starboy can't come up in the conversation. Can't.
Don't run like a label.
Yeah, because you think right.
I really want to know what's going on. Terry dropped the project in 2019, I think, a 5-track or 6-track.
Yeah, EP, and it wasn't even pushed.
It was pushed, but
was it?
It wasn't pushed like
it wasn't everywhere.
Don Jazzy put a rasta on his head.
I'm not going to see. The thing is, I feel like I don't know the kind of organization they have.
I don't know the kind
the
of
Starboy
agreements. I mean, Sizza Millie was in soccer video. There was one other guy.
Yeah, they had weird names too.
I'm sure there's an arrangement, blah blah blah. But man, there's something that
Terry be fine though.
Starboy.
Terry be fine. Terry is a great
at
artist.
At some point, LAX was Starboy.
Yeah.
Legendary beats are Starboy.
Yeah.
So there's something about that, but all the same, Wiz is doing it.
But Legendary Beats, those guys have been on from like what, 2011.
I respect them for the production of Ojo Elegba because of that Dr. Dre sample, and you know what the song became.
Yeah, but I think I like Legendary Beats for Ara.
What song was that?
Arambe, Brimo. Probably almost the biggest song of 2011.
Wow. I didn't know they produced that.
Yeah, they did a mini ball.
But when
too.
They say Legendary Beats,
obviously the first song that comes to your mind when you hear Legendary Beats is Ojo Elegba.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah.
But they have a good catalog. They don't have their discography is solid.
Yeah.
They don't have just any other songs.
Yeah. Exclusive songs.
Yeah, exclusive songs. And they are still making music with Whiskey. Yeah. So that's really good. You understand? Like probably need to talk about Whiskey's new album, but like we'd not talk about it too much because we are talking about Maya.
Do they have any song on?
Yeah, they do. Okay, yeah. They do. They have a song on Main Lagos. But we're not talking about it yet, so we'll talk about Main Lagos some other time.
Good time to play. What are we missing before we play the songs?
Yeah, basically, I really don't think we're missing anything right now. The legacy for VIP, basically, VIP are still around. They're still fully around. Yeah, Awonka Wemu would always be a big song.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you play that song now, people still get crazy.
I'd like to believe they got or they will be getting royalties from that song.
I think they should be.
But whatever it is, they should get their bread.
Yeah.
We'll play VIP Ahumke Wum.
Ahumke Wum.
We always say the title like
Ahumke Wum. Ahumke Wum. That's the
play
best
that
way we can
first,
pronounce Ahumke Wum.
Just a snippet of that, and then you listen to Mute Whiskey Maya, which is Maya means Shayu. Enjoy Yourself.
Enjoy Yourself.
In Nigerian lingo. But that song became one of the biggest songs in Nigeria in 2017. Even though in Nigerian music, you probably have like 30 biggest songs
in a year. Now, it's so hard to pick a Nigerian song that was biggest. But this is Whiskey's Maya and VIP's Aunkamemu.
Let's go. We'll be right back.
The Sample Access, administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yo, hold on. The Sample Access. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. I learned to live. Balak balak penis me amoya. You girl follow me man you. Let me girl follow me. Oh yeah, take all my money, put them for your head yo. For your head yo. Oh oh, mama mo. Oh yeah, take all my money, put them for your waist yo. For your waist yo. Oh oh, why? I'm going balak balak you. Balak penis penis me amoya. Baby girl, follow me, my you. Baby girl, follow me, my yeah, my yeah. Calling, calling you. I like my love, my yeah. Baby girl, follow me, my you. Baby girl, follow me, my yeah, my yeah.
To the Sample Access, and that was VIP's Aunkamemu and Wizkid's Maya. I'm sure it's very easy to identify the sampling, and it's beautiful because I really love what Wizkid did with that song, and it made it completely like different, and it was really cool.
And it was just two lines.
Yeah.
Progression. He didn't pick the third line.
No,
two lines.
No.
And then he changes. And then
sampling is beautiful.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to do just. That's basically what we have for this first episode. But we have this song has been ringing our heads for a very long time. So we just feel we should talk about it. I don't know whether people know this, but Fino featured Wale. And I think that Fino has to probably be my best Wale feature because I felt like he was laid back and did his stuff. Wale feature in Nigeria. Wale Nigerian
feature. Wale has done a lot.
Yeah, he's done a lot because I know a lot of songs. I remember the one with Ricardo Banks.
Ricardo
Banks. Yeah, and there was another one again. With Olamide,
it was reminisce.
Yeah, but I like this Fino. I like this Fino song because he had this very cool vibe.
Yeah, the video.
Very cool.
The song is chilled.
Very chill.
When we talk about Afrobeats, this particular song, talk about Wizkid and Runtown, Lagos to Kampala, there is a kind of vibe that these beats bring. Chills. Listen to his production. He's a producer and, you know, an artist.
Okay.
His production is sick. And that's the kind of Afrobeat. It's Afrobeat, but it has this urban feeling to it. And that's what the song is. This song is, I don't know who produced it. I can't remember. This particular Wale, this particular Fino Wale song. I like the vibe. Like the, it's in a particular class of Afrobeat pop or Afro pop that I can't describe, but that's the best form. That's the best version.
I like this song too. I remember that I'd heard it before. But I probably just forgot about the song. Do you understand? And I feel like that's what happened to most Nigerian songs recently because there's so much coming out. Mm. So if your song doesn't stick, it doesn't stick. Mm. That's the end of it. And I think one of the reasons why I actually had to hear this song was when he played it. And I was around, I'm like, oh yeah, this was sampling Nelly. That's why Nelly's Dilemma is making a return. Yeah. And this was a very small sample. So we're not calling this a part of the show. We're just saying, we just want to talk about mention. It because we thought it was really cool that, you know, Fino
like
could
so
take
cool.
some.
I think we were singing along at the time. We could sing Dilemma on top of the beat.
Yeah, and it flowed easily. And I also like the small, I don't know whether it's tribute or acknowledgement of the group NWA. Major guys, DJ Ella, Eazy, Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, madmen basically in the industry at that point.
And the song is titled Fino and Wale's song starts
with NWA,
niggas
with attitude, and the song basically just talks about you being a nigger with attitude.
So where does the NWA connection come from?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the fact that the song itself, one way or the other, whether you like it or not, pays tribute to the NWA of that time.
There's no connection.
There's no major connection to the music. You understand? So that's why I really like the song.
So what does is there a bridge anywhere by just speaking that tag?
The song was talking about
NWA was trademarked. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does actually. If it was trademarked, it does. But I feel I think the NWA, so they've disbanded. So that's why.
But even at that, Dr. Dre will not start.
He wouldn't fly all the way down to Nigeria to say,
send his
please, why are you using my name?
You know, and say, no. People should stop using that.
And the song is actually a very cool song. I feel like maybe even if Dr. Dre had heard it at some point, he'd be like, you know what, this is unique.
But I was watching a Dr. Dre documentary recently, and I see that Ice Cube still flies the NWA tees.
Yeah. He's an NWA boy forever. You know, like, if not for money issues and how things were being done at that point, he probably would have never left the NWA. But I think he was happy at some point, like, later on in the future, he knew that me leaving wasn't a bad thing after all, because it was actually very hard for him to leave. Because he was one of the reasons why that group started. Izzy was just supposed to be, you know, the guy that comes and pays money.
Yeah.
And then at some point, like, you know what, you can actually speed on records.
It's a long story,
yeah.
And you know, they
became legends. And first, I still love what that simple interpolation that happened. The beats
from
was Dynamo. Beautiful.
Now there's a part of the beat that has been, I don't know if it's been used by other people, but who produced that song?
I am Beats. Yeah.
Whoa.
From 2018. Whoa. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is.
I like that song. I like Raleigh's raps and all that.
I feel like the song should be bigger. I think it has about 8.3 million views on YouTube.
Yeah.
Too small.
Speaking of, you know, he moved from Ghost Mode.
Yeah. To Enugu Bun and Bread Rapper.
To Father to Connect to...
That's that song you like. There's this particular song you like.
Fino moved from Ghost Mode, hardcore rap, to ghetto gospel in Father and Connect, to this laid back, you know, rapper and Afrobeats.
Do you smell some Drake moves?
I don't know.
I just thought about it now.
Fino tweeted some time ago that Fino does what Fino wants.
Yeah. I remember that. Like, he's big now.
And that's where the conversation came about. Fino moved from hardcore rap to now he's singing. People have been saying it. YC has been saying it. Everybody has been saying it.
Why is YC saying anything about it?
No. People, rappers generally in Nigeria are saying that don't pressure us, don't put us in a box.
Yeah. Nobody, it's fine.
We are not saviors of rap, blah, blah, blah. So
I feel like people like Drake, they have turned the head. And I say, you know what, we're not going to do things the normal way anymore. I mean, big ups to you if you want to continue rapping. I'm a fan of music. I love rap. I love pop. I love rock music. If I mess with it.
But there was this, you know, there's always that hip-hop head conversation.
Hip-hop is not even half a century.
I used to be like that.
Hip-hop is not half a century.
But then again, when people say, this is what I want to do, I want to move from this to this, then let them be. So
Yeah.
I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Is cool.
Has been able to move from here to here and then to a different vibe. He can do that. He can do whatever he wants. And then he could do, you know, traditional Igbo.
Yeah, I love traditional Igbo stuff too.
In the bag. Then you can follow the beat and you know.
I remember Man of the Year. You remember Man of the Year?
Yeah.
That was a solid song.
Solid. Think, I don't know anything in Igbo.
That's the thing.
But that song was, I think it was banned on radio at some point. But
yeah.
He had a great time every day on radio.
Kill them all. I say kill them all.
I'm a god in this game and my kingdom has come.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, please. God make you bigger. There's a particular line, East Coast nigga, I'm banging in the West. That song was a banger.
Yeah.
Pasu came out, Alabam, the No Gods, No Glory album.
Alabam did not. Shouldn't Alabam be?
Dope Money with Olamide.
Shouldn't Alabam be one of that time? Shouldn't have been like probably the most popular song at that time.
At that time, it was busy. Olamide dropped, I think it was the same year with Shakiti Bobo. So it was a busy year already. But Alabam stood out at that time.
Because I remember Alabam. We had Alabam on shirts.
Yeah.
People putting Alabam on shirts.
We probably don't know the impact, except we went to the. I'm sure it was bigger. The impact was bigger in the East.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's like, my guy. Alabam.
My guy.
So,
I know I'm going to get back to Fino at some point, because
it's very important to Nigerian
music industry in terms of how much the
connecting cultures,
rap,
and you know, people are done it before him,
and they tried really hard,
but he took it to a different level and then brought traditional
But it's combo. I think it's combo with Olamide.
Yeah, they've been together for.
Made it.
In fact, if they don't feature each other, Olamide would appear in the video.
So, and yeah, it's on Olamide's album Kappa DM. And yeah. Obviously, Fino's song is one of the songs actually ringing at the moment in Nigeria. This is the year 2021,
yeah.
February, and I feel like Highway, DJ K-Wise. K-Wise has been doing good for a while now.
I mean, you signed a deal recently.
Yeah, K-Wise is doing okay. He's doing okay, and you know.
And that's the uniqueness. He's the only talking drum DJ in Nigeria.
I mean, be unique. That's very important.
Shout out to DJ KY.
Fino NWA and simply sampling.
So we just play tiny snippets.
There's nothing much about it. Yeah. Just a way to open back, you know, back to Q2 episode 14.
Yeah.
Sample access, you know, Gwega Nelson on the sound, giving you hot.
Please subscribe to the podcast and give us a good rating. Follow us, subscribe, and then share our content with people around you. Let this go as far as it can. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Gwega. Find me on Twitter, Gwega_Adeoya. LinkedIn if you like, Gwega Adeoya. Facebook, the same name. Yeah, I'm everywhere. I should be on TikTok.
All right. Yeah, you want to be on TikTok. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at NWAENIE N, and you find me on Instagram at NWAENIE.Nelson. My surname is very hard to pronounce, so that's why I just have to spell it out. Yeah, this is the Sample Access Podcast. We made your guys. We out.
I got goons from the left, goons from the right. Pull up on the roads with a bad chica. In my name, I got a chica. Yeah. I got goons from the left, goons from the right. Pull up on the roads with a bad chica. In my name, I got a chica. I'm a pocket looking gigantic. No sales, so you never die. I'm a man, I got a chica. In my name, I got a chica. But I'm still writing my article. No sleeping on a bicycle. And I give thanks, show gratitude. But I'm still a nigga with a knife.